That is I. Good to be with you on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Hub, day before Wednesday, 2 days in front of Thursday, and 3 days in front of Friday. I think that's how that works, eh, Rebecca Black? Oh man, that's a callback. Great to be with you on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, and of course on the FM dial there as well at 98.5. We're just dropping stuff and throwing things all over the place. We're just wrecking stuff on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Hub. Matt McClure joins us in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What's going on over there? You just breaking stuff or what?
Yeah, no. I dropped something. Picked it up real quick.
Just what you do? Good old, you've seen Tommy Boy, right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Classic Tommy Boy line. So, fun show for you here today on FSA. David Moe, the head coach of the Dakota State women's basketball squad. He'll be joining us in about 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Looking forward to that conversation with him. It's been a minute since we've talked on the program, and to be honest, I think it's been a minute since I've talked with him as well. Shot him a text this morning. I said, you know, you guys have had an incredible start to the season. Would love to get you on the program here. You're sitting in the 11th spot right now in the country. They haven't lost since December. I got to double check the exact date, but I think it's the 15th or something like that. So they've won 10 straight games. They just beat Mayville over the last weekend, and that's, I would probably say, their biggest rival right now in terms of just who can give them the best run at things within the North Star. So we'll have him on the program here in about 10 to 15 minutes on the show. And then towards the bottom of the hour, we'll have Jay Klein Connect and an Aberdeen Wings Weekly. That's what's on tap for the show here today. But yeah, my question, maybe we'll get into this, maybe not, but my big question with Dakota State is, what does the future hold? Because they're a part of the North Star, and this is the second to last year of that. Of course, next year is going to be the final year of the NSAA. Jamestown comes back for a year, kind of like a one-off sabbatical kind of thing. And then
They're going to the NSIC, right?
Yep, they're going to go D2.
Yep.
Jamestown is. So we'll see what that means for Dakota State. We'll see what that means for them in the future. What does that mean for Mayville and Valley City? And
they're probably just going to go to the GPAC.
Well, there's a deal about the GPAC. You have to be a religious affiliated school to join the GPAC.
Okay.
So will they waive that for those teams? I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. But people have been asking me. They're like, what's going to happen with these North Star teams? And I'm like,
no idea.
I don't know. I have no idea. So will you see some teams like UMary and Minot come back from the NSIC and join the old DAC conference? I think that was the conference before I first moved out here. So we'll see. I don't know. It feels like just about anything's on the table, you know?
Yeah, no, that's pretty wild because anything I feel like could happen. I don't know if you were a Minot, do you really want to go out of the NSIC and move? But
I wouldn't think so.
That's what I'm saying. You're Mary. You want to move out of the NSIC? I wouldn't.
I'd want to stay.
Yeah, I would want to stay. So I don't know. It would make sense. Wouldn't it kind of make sense if Dakota State went to the GPAC? I understand with the you know what you just mentioned, but it would kind of make sense. They play a lot of those teams, don't they?
Yeah, a fair amount of them. And I think that religious affiliation thing is the biggest portion of that. That's probably going to be their biggest hang-up. But yeah, I mean, I look at a team like Bellevue, and I heard that they have been trying to get into, well, heck, Bellevue's been trying to get out of the North Star for years. Maybe this is inside baseball, maybe it's not, I'm not quite sure. But Bellevue, I thought I heard here not that long ago that they applied for the Frontier Conference. Now, the Frontier Conference, there are teams in Montana.
I remember we did that, and you were
insane.
You were looking at like a drive. I remember that. You're like, that
16 hours.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to travel that far?
Can you go independent?
Yeah.
Do you go D2? I have no idea. These are all questions that are going to be answered here in the next, I don't know, year and a half, I would think, but a lot of questions, not a whole lot of answers right now. But we'll talk Dakota State women's basketball coming up here with David Moe in just a bit. Again, it's daily show right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Tomorrow, a Wolves midweek. Looking forward to that as well. And, of course, if you missed the show for one reason or another, don't forget you can check it out on our website on hubcityradio.com. And you can also check it out via Spotify there as well. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
As we're going to toss the ball up skywards here, and we've got a lot to get to on this installment of The Jump, and very sparse high school schedule from last night, so we'll just hit on a couple of these quick-like. Aberdeen Roncalli, On the girls' side of things, they would take care of business against Tio Spezina, 63-23. Maddie Huber with 14. Ava Hansen had a baker's dozen. McKenna O'Keefe, 12. Balanced attack there for Ron Colley, still holding TZ winless. And a big matchup that we kind of had circled was 2 versus 2. 2A versus 2B. Hamlin against Castlewood. And it would be the Chargers making quick work of the Warriors, 71-47. Jackson Wadsworth had 17. Evan Stormo had 15. Easton Neuendorf, 14. Talk about balance. Lane Tweed had 17. Luke Baumberger had 11 there for Castlewood in the loss. Not a bad loss at all because it's a B falling to an A. But
and one of the best teams today.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, they just lost to the number one team the weekend prior in Sioux Falls Christian. Talking about Hamlin, that is.
So. And ended a 62-game win streak as well. So they're playing really good.
No question about it. So a couple of matchups there of note. And you can check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details there. But a couple of things that striked my interest here this morning. As it pertains to basketball in particular, we just had, of course, I Hate Winter Weekend about a week and a half or so ago. And you had the baseline babes, as it were. You know, they got the trench coats and, you know, they're flashing, so to speak, as I put that word in quotation marks. Well, we actually have some legitimate flashing. Sort of. Kind of. You can also throw those in quotation marks as well. So Holy Cross, they were playing Boston University the other night, and the Holy Cross men's swimming and diving teams, they've got a track that runs above the floor. Have you ever been to some of these arenas?
Yes.
Gyms that have got the track above?
Yes.
So that's what Holy Cross has there. And I'm saying holy something else. But there's about 5 or 6 guys that are part of the swimming and diving team. They're just rocking their Speedos behind the basket, above the floor, and they're rocking it for the free throws.
Do you think that might have altered the free throw shooting a little bit?
I would have been thrown a little bit off.
Yeah, I would have been thrown a little bit off. Wonder if they shot the ball well from the charity stripe in that game. Probably not.
No, I wouldn't think so. By the way, I don't know the exact numbers, but when Duluth was shooting free throws that direction in the second half, I want to say they were like 2 of 7. Or something like that.
I like when teams do that kind of stuff. I know we talked about it one time off the air, but I know Arizona State used to do the curtain of distraction for a while. I don't know if I think they still do that, but basically what they do is they have like a curtain, and then somebody will come out of the curtain. It could be anything, and it really alters the free throw shooting. I like when teams do that kind of stuff. I think it adds a different dimension to the game.
It's a fun aspect. It's letting kids be kids. It's a fun thing. It's something new. It's something different. You're starting traditions. Eh, maybe a little tongue-in-cheek from time to time, but hey, if you can be a moron, do it in college, right?
Yeah.
If there's ever a time to do it, go ahead and be goofy in college for sure. So maybe moron's not the right word, but you know what I'm trying to say. And just let the kids have fun, I guess, is my biggest thing. Speaking of letting the guys have fun, we got to give a big shout-out to our guy, Joe Scheisty. Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow sent out a tweet the other day in the Ravens and Chiefs game. There was a play where Zay Flowers caught a big pass down the sidelines, and then after the play was over, kind of dropped the football down on, I think that was Ladarius Sneed.
Yep.
And he kind of taunted, and we were kind of looking at that. My wife and I said, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You know that's a 15-yard penalty. You just know that. Well, Joe Scheisty, my guy, Morgan Fiedler's guy too, by the way, says, let the guys taunt. Are you okay with that? Do you want to see more taunting, less taunting? Are you okay with taunting? What say you?
I'm okay with taunting in the NFL. Maybe not so much in the college game, but I'm okay with taunting. These guys are professionals. If they want to talk after making a big play, I'm cool with it.
Not only that, but Travis Kelce talks after everything.
Every play.
George Kittle. Something about these tight ends. George Kittle and the whole that thing. That drives me nuts. As a Seahawks fan, every single time... Oh, 8-yard gain. Shut up. Stop it. Drives me nuts. But you know what?
What draws the line of a taunting? That's the question I'm trying to find out with all these calls. Because you can do this on a first down. You can dance in the end zone.
Yep.
But you can't say, you know, I just bust you know what to a guy after making a catch.
Can't spin the ball. Anything ball-related is a penalty.
Yeah.
And also, to be fair, Flowers also kind of pushed Sneed down while he was already on the ground. I can see being a flag.
I thought his was a flag. I agree with you on that.
No doubt.
I was like, what are you doing, man? You didn't need to do all that. If he would have, you know, another thing you can't do, you can't step over a person. You can't stare down a guy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Can't Allen Iverson anybody. Can't Allen Iverson Tyronn Lue. Can't do it.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the taunting rules, I got to tell you.
It's very nebulous. It's a very nebulous thing. And speaking of taunting, and this is our final one here in the jump here today, the BYU fans. So they have been asked to remove the horns down t-shirts during their game against Texas this last weekend. And this is like the new thing in 2024. I mean, it's not new. The people have been doing horns down for years now. But they're making this seem like it's the worst thing of all time, talking about Texas and their coaching staff and players in their school. The whole horns down thing. Why is this the worst thing in the world?
Why is that a big deal?
I don't get
it. Coach flipped out after lost it. Yeah, he lost it in the handshake line. Did they play BYU that game, or was it? I don't think it was BYU.
No,
it was a different team.
Yeah,
but you can't be a fan and make fun of it a little bit. I thought everybody went on Twitter after that and was like, "Why is this guy freaking out for no reason? Horns down. They've been saying it for years." If you're not a Texas fan, you know what you do? Horns down. It's just the way it is. So it makes Texas unlikable, as far as I'm concerned.
So much for DBU. Yeah, I don't know. I look at that, and it's like, okay, it's a fun, stupid taunt. Move on. That's it. It's a stupid taunt. Move on with your life.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal. I never understood why this is such a...
Well, credit to the BYU guys, too. They were front and center, right in front of the Texas bench.
Yeah.
They went all in. I give a lot of credit to those guys for doing that. That was good stuff.
Yeah. Ash. There are so many things I would like to say that people are making it seem to be akin to. A lot of it's politically incorrect, so I can't say it. But it's just like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's... a harmless taunt.
It's a harmless taunt.
Horns down. Because everybody does this for Texas.
Yeah.
You're just making fun of it. I don't see the big deal.
Nor do I, but that's the world we live in. Everyone's triggered by everything. But
instead of just playing the game.
Just play the game. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some women's basketball. David Moe, head coach of the Trojans of DSU. He'll join us next. We're back on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen, also on the FM dial there as well at 98.5. David Tewksbury joined alongside by the man we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure and David Moe, the head coach of the Trojans of Dakota State University women's basketball, joining us here on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. Thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And off to a great start here this season. And I know this is kind of something that's probably in the way, way, way back of your head because it happened, well, last year, but an incredible run last year and getting all the way down to the Final Four. When that was the case, how long were you guys kind of, I guess, wallowing's not the right word, but thinking to yourself, okay, this is great, but we're ready for the next step? And how long did it take you to kind of turn that page to get into this season?
That's a great question. You know, we usually give our players about four weeks after the season to just kind of recover physically, mentally, emotionally. Like, it's a long season, and making it to the Final Four last year made it, you know, that much longer, which was awesome, but it does turn into a very long season. It was after those 4 weeks were done where we came back and said, okay, this year's over, it was great, it was fun, but now we're on to next year. And, you know, our main focus is to prepare ourselves daily to be back in that moment in March. You know, and so it's been a long time. You know, basically from the end of April last year to the beginning of May, we had a really great summer, a great end of the spring semester, but a really great summer. We brought in some really great freshmen this year. And just the whole mentality and mood of the team has been that of, we're preparing for something bigger than this moment in, you know, November, December, January, February. We're preparing for something bigger than that. And it's been a really fun team to be around because they are very focused and locked in for the moment, but not the outcome of the moment, the process of the moment of trying to become better every single day.
Yeah, Coach, and, you know, you talked about focusing on this year. You guys have certainly done that. 18-4 overall. You guys have been great at home and on the road this year. You know, what goes into playing well on the road? You guys are 7-1. Does defense travel for you guys? What goes into, you think, playing well for on the road?
It's funny you ask that. Just yesterday, my sister and I were looking at some numbers, and shockingly, we're shooting 46.5% from the floor at home and on the road, the exact same percentage.
Wow.
Which you would think you should shoot better at home, but when it comes to like the offense traveling, I'll just say we really just focus on it's going to sound cliche, but like not the outcome of the shot. If we find great shots, and great shots for us are layups, free throws, and inside-out threes. If we can find those great shots, we have some really good shooters that can knock it down. And if you don't worry about anything else that's happening with the outcome of that shot, and you just focus on my feet, my shot pocket, getting it up, getting it straight, hold my follow-through, and you just like stay focused in that process of the shot, your percentage is going to stay pretty similar. And we've done a really good job this year of finding great shots, trusting each other, and not worrying about what happened on that shot. If we make it, great. If we miss it, fine. Next play. And so that's traveled well for us offensively. And then defensively, you know, it's true. Defense does travel. You can always bring it defensively. And our defense has been a work in progress this year, but we're really starting to kind of come around and find our own and really dictate tempo defensively in the game. And it's been really fun to see just the growth in the program. But I think we've always been a program that has based, we put up some really good numbers offensively, but it always starts with our defense, and our defense feeds our offense, and it's really starting to kind of come around that way.
Well, you're very consistent, and all the coaches that we talk to, we always ask, you know, what's the kind of the key to the success? And more often than not, coaches at some point, doesn't matter what sport we're talking about, they say we got to be consistent. And 46.5%, that's consistent both road and home there for sure. And, you know, Coach, I've been keeping an eye on the program here this year, and one of the girls that I've really kind of had kind of circled has been the growth from Tabor Teal this year. I mean, a freshman last year, very solid, but kind of feels like this year she's taken a huge step forward. Just what have you seen from her and her game so far in her sophomore campaign?
Yeah, Tabor's been great, and she's been such a great testament of, like, ownership. Last year as a freshman, she worked hard. She wanted to get in the rotation, and when she wasn't playing as much as she wanted to, there was always this feeling of, oh, I should be on the floor, which is very natural for anyone that's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the season, we had a really good talk with her, and we said, hey, if you want to get on the floor, and I know you do, then you need to take some ownership of growing your game and developing as a player. And this summer, I'm telling you, I haven't seen a kid work as hard as her in all my years of coaching. She was in the gym 5 days a week with my assistant coach, just working every single day, improving her game, and it shows. And the main thing that has changed for her is just that mentality of, you know what, I'm going to take ownership of my situation. I'm going to be so good that the players have to have, or that the coaches have to have me on the floor, instead of wondering why I'm not on the floor. I'm going to take some ownership of it and be so impactful that they have to have me on the floor. And that it's true. We look around like we need to have Tabor on the floor mm-hmm. as much as we can, because she's doing such a great job. And she's playing in a different position than she's ever played. And she's just, it's so fun to see someone who has worked incredibly hard as she has to now see the fruits of that labor kind of grow and show. It's a really, really cool story that I'm very thankful to be a part of.
No doubt.
Last win for you, Coach. You beat number 13 Mayville State. You beat them pretty handily. It was 71-48 final score, kind of a statement win. Did you feel that kind of way as well? You know, that's in the top 15 team there in the nation, and you guys handed them a pretty, you know, substantial loss, beat them by 20 plus points. Did you feel that like that was a statement win for your team?
It was a great win, you know, I think statement win, you could say. It's such a fun game because the crowd at our gym was so electric. We honored the egg producers in the area for that game, and it was just the gym was packed. It was loud. It was electric. It was awesome. And to be able to compete and beat the number 13 team in the country on our floor was pretty special. You know, there's a lot of history between us and Mayville. They beat us last year in the conference tournament championship game. And so, like, it's always fun to compete against them, but you have two really, really good teams competing, and we just ended up, you know, playing a little better that day. But it was a really, really fun win for us, a great win for our program. And we hope that we can continue to kind of, you know, stay on that winning trend.
It's been a great rivalry for years now. It really has. And I'm sure you're going to see them later on down the road. And you will technically for the regular season, February the 9th. That's on a Friday. Looking forward to that one for sure. David Moe joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, Coach, covering you guys last year in our pregame chats and what have you, it kind of feels like every year, and it's not just you, a lot of coaches have kind of a tagline for the season. And I think last year you kind of talked about it takes what it takes. You said that a lot last year. For us, you know, it takes what it takes. Do you have a new one for this season, kind of a maybe a little tagline or something like that that's kind of the calling card for this program, for this iteration of the Trojans?
Yeah, we really, and this kind of started last year going into the national tournament too, is essentially our identity of fast, free, and fun. We talk about it a lot. I'll just kind of break that down real quick. Fast, free, and fun comes down to the fast pieces. We're going to play incredibly hard. We're going to play hard for each other. When you come watch us play, you're gonna be amazed at just how fast we do play. We pick up full court. We trap. We fly around. Offensively, we play very fast. It's a very exciting style of basketball. But when you can just play as hard as you can, when you control that effort piece that everyone has control of, when you give that your very best and you play fast, it's just going to be a fun, you know, a fun thing to watch. The free piece is really important in our program because as a coach, coaches love control, you know, and I try really hard to give the control to our players. I really try to take a step back and give them the freedom to go be the people and the players that they want to be, and I trust them. At times, it's very hard to sit back and not try to take over that control, but if I take over that control, then I'm taking away part of their freedom that makes them so special. And so we talk about, you know, mistakes are really good for us. When we fail, it's really good because that's how you learn. If you, like, you shouldn't ever be perfect from an execution standpoint because you're not pushing yourself outside your boundaries. You know, that's the only way you can get better is if you really push yourself outside the boundaries. But with that, when mistakes happen, there's freedom of, okay, it's not personal. I didn't try to do that. Let's move on to the next play. Like I always say, if Tabor, we just talked about, if Tabor turns the ball over, no one on the team thinks that she's actively trying to turn the ball over.
Right.
She's trying to make a play. Okay, next play. If Tabor were to miss a layup, no one thinks that she's actively trying to miss that layup. Okay, next play. And when you get to the point of understanding that, okay, I'm not trying to make this mistake, I'm trying to make a play for you as a teammate, there's kind of a power behind that freedom of, hey, let's go make the next one together. Okay, mistake happened, success happened, doesn't matter. Let's go make the next one together. And there's a real freedom in that of, when you don't worry about the outcome, you don't worry about what's going to happen in this moment, I'm just going to play as hard as I can, give it my very best, there's freedom behind that. And then the last piece is fun. And basketball is the greatest sport on earth. I say that as a basketball coach, of course. But, like, I've always wanted to have a program, a system that is fun to play, fun to coach, and fun to watch. And basketball is a game. A game should be fun. And when our players are having fun and they're smiling and they're just, like, When you're having fun, you give that much more on the floor. And if we can play that fast, free, and fun style of basketball, we're really, really tough. And that's kind of been our identity over the last, you know, basically since February last year when we really kind of dove into this fast, free, and fun of, hey, this is who we are, this is what we're going to do. And when we live up to that identity, we're really, really good. And so fast, free, and fun has kind of been our calling card.
Yeah, Coach, and, you know, we talked about Tabor Teal, and somebody else who's just a great player for you guys is Savannah Walsdorf. I just went over it, Coach. She scored in double figures, and it looks like 18 of the 22 games you guys have played this year. Can you just talk about, you know, what she means to the program, being a senior and has really seen it all for you guys and your team.
Yeah, I've joked that Savannah's made me look like a really smart coach for 5 years. she's pretty special. You know, this is her fifth year. She took a COVID year. And she's just been a very, very special player to coach. She's incredibly talented. She's long and athletic and skilled. And honestly, the hardest thing about coaching Savannah has been convincing her of how good she is. She's always kind of held back because she thinks that she shouldn't be taking that shot or she shouldn't be making that play. And it's been 4 years of me saying, "Go, Savannah, go,
just do it."
And she's so talented, and she's a great kid. She's a great teammate. The players love her. She just has one of those mentalities of she doesn't know what she doesn't know kind of thing, and it kind of makes her pretty special, where she's just out there playing like a kid, just having fun playing basketball. And she's going to go down. She's already broke a few school records. She's going to break a bunch more before this year's over with. And she's just been really, really fun to coach and a very, very special, you know, Trojan athlete.
Well, best of luck on the road coming up this weekend, on the road in La Crosse and Forest City there. Coach, much appreciated, and best of luck the rest of the way, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you later on down the road.
Thanks, guys. Always appreciate being on.
You bet. Our pleasure, for sure. David Moe, head coach of the Trojans of Dakota State, and I see a lot of similarities between a couple things. Number one, between Tabor Teal and Madeline Bragg. They both made that huge jump from freshman to sophomore year, mm-hmm. and the way he's talking about sort of relinquishing control between him and Paula Kruger as well, kind of a similar situation
yep.
there. And it's interesting to see these coaches that have been very type A, for lack of a better term, that like that control piece, and they're like, you know what, I'm giving it to my teammates now, or my players. And you've just seen both of those teams in particular have incredible seasons.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. You know, he's kind of letting the girls play, you know, the players play. And, mm-hmm. and while he is the coach and, you know, it's his way, right, he is giving that freedom to the players. And you can see it night in and night out. Currently on a 10-game win streak. We didn't even bring that up.
Right.
Haven't lost, your right, Tuke, since December 15th. I mean, it makes you think, does he even know that they got a 10-game win streak? Probably not. Because guess what? I was going to ask that question, but probably not, because his goal is get back to the Final Four and win the whole thing. That's kind of where I think their head's at. And when you have the players that they do and Teal making that step, you got Wolfsdorf being the leader who's seen a lot and is – like he said, just means a lot to the program. You combine the two with that, and they got a lot of other balanced scoring. They're a really solid team.
18-4 right now, 6-0 in the conference, and didn't even talk about her either. But Caitlin Dyer has made a big jump from freshman to sophomore year there too for Dakota State. We'll come on back and take a look at some more local notes as well. Less than a minute to go in our live portion of the program on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to head coach David Moe for Dakota State joining us earlier on in the show. And, yeah, we were also talking off the air. It's patience, paint touches, and pace with Paula Kruger. And
you remembered it.
Yeah, I remembered it this time. Yeah, I know, right? And then on the Dakota State side of things, it's fast, free, and playing with freedom. So
yeah.
There's a lot of parallels between those two programs.
And unselfish basketball, I think, is what they preach, mm-hmm. and they're having great seasons. And how about, like you said, just the basketball program in general for Dakota State? You got Darren Ty doing his yep. thing and for the men's squad, and obviously Coach Mo there and the women's team doing some great things. So shout out to that basketball program.
Check out the polls on our website, hubcityradio.com. The high school basketball notes from last night, very sparse there. Jay Kleinkonnect, he's got your Aberdeen Wings Weekly. That's coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.
Once again, an edition of Wings Weekly coming your way. Jay Kleinkonnect here along with head coach Scott Langer. Coach, big weekend here at the ODI Center. You know, you come out on Friday night, and, you know, as I talked to you about on Saturday before the game, it just felt like in the first 40 seconds, the ice was tilted. Some big hits, and it was like welcome to the ODI. You know, it was their first trip for the North Iowa Bulls here to the ODI Center and to Aberdeen. You win 8-3 then, and again, it just felt like things really went your way early on. You have a strong first period, of, you know, a 5-1 lead at the end of that one. Maybe the second got a little flat, but overall a great night on Friday night. And I know you're not a big fan of dissecting or analyzing wins. But what did you guys, and I always say, what did you think of as a staff? You know, but what was working? What was working so well? And were there any parts of that that you were kind of like, you know what, we should be doing this better? You know, as the game is going along, I always like to kind of pick your brain and see how, you know, what your thought process is.
Yeah, you know, our energy level was really good. I mean, when we came out that first shift, and, you know, we had a few guys lay somebody and really kind of set the tone right away. And that, I thought that was huge. And obviously we got that big goal right away from Key that got us fired up. And, you know, our guys just they had fun. They were having fun.
Yeah.
They were having fun. So, you know, our second period was just okay. But again, our third period was strong. And, you know, anytime that, you know, you can have that kind of offensive output, it's always a fun game.
Well, like you said, having fun, well, scoring goals and being physical and doing all the right things and having that level of success certainly is, you know, makes it a heck of a lot more enjoyable for sure. You move on to Saturday, and you knew, I think we all knew, that that they were going to come out strong on Saturday. They were going to come out fired up. They, you know, there was some conversations that were had, you know, between players and so on and things like that. They're going to be heated. And Saturday, the first period, a 0-0 first period, it was a lot tighter, obviously, when it comes to shots on goals. You were outshot, evenly matched as far as play goes in a lot of ways. But then the second, you guys come out in the second and just absolutely, I think you outshot them 13-2 in the second alone. And again, the energy level was up, and you start to score some goals. You're up 4-1 at the end of the, you know, when the final horn sounds, that close away. I mean, what, minute 33, I think it was, away from a shutout. And just a real strong weekend again. But Saturday, a little bit of a different feel. But and then as things kind of got towards the end of the game, about 8 minutes left, it seemed like they kind of came unraveled. I think I said on the broadcast a couple of times that they seemed like, you know, obviously there's going to be some frustration, but they sort of seem like they lost composure. And I don't think I'm overstepping any boundaries by saying that. But, you know, there's a lot of penalties and so on at the end of those games, some ejections and so on. What did you think of Saturday's matchup?
Yeah, I mean, our first period wasn't bad by any means. You know, they did outshoot us that period, but, you know, Croy did a really good job of holding us in there. But again, you know, we figured some stuff out after the first period. There was nobody in the locker room that was happy with, you know, coming out, you know, after a game like Friday, coming out in the first period. And I don't know if it was it wasn't stale. I mean, we still defensively were decent, but we just didn't have the same, you know, we just didn't have the same energy level.
Mm-hmm.
But we picked up there in the second period. It was a good second period, and then the third obviously filled with just wasting my time watching guys jump each other. So, but. You know, we came out unscathed on that, and we ended up taking 4 points on the weekend, which is what we had to do, especially with this long weekend coming, heading to Austin, and then guys having to leave to go to the top prospects. So we had to take care of home ice, and we did that.
Did that indeed. In spades, one might say. Yeah, with I don't know. I don't want to call it a signature kind of win or whatever you would say, but it just seemed like you guys really, like you said, took care of home ice, and it was like, we're not going to make this easy for you. And you've said that on many occasions, that, you know, making it difficult to play against is part of your goal. And it seemed like that was the case, and that you guys did a great job of that this weekend. Great crowd Saturday night, for sure, and a lot going on there for sure, too. You mentioned energy. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit about recruiting and bringing guys in. And, you know, when you're looking at players, when you're looking at prospects that are coming in and so on, you know, obviously you're looking at film, you're looking at video, you're looking at all kinds of things that they can do from a skill set. Do you ever look at, Andy Reid, I think yesterday, talked about Travis Kelce and about how he's just like, he brings it every game. Like, he's always fired up and ready to go. Is there a tangible
a mark of a moment or something that you can, when you look at players, is that something that you're looking at too? Is there somebody that can bring that?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you do a lot of research. Obviously, you tap into their coaches that they've had in the past, and you kind of try to figure out what kind of personality they have. You know,
sure.
you know, for example, the Tyler Dobbs kid that's come in and played two games for us. Like we had him at camp a year ago, and we met him as a person, and he just had that fire, that energy all the time. He just wants to be around. He wants to play the game. And, you know, we're always looking for guys that are like that. And, you know, normally the quiet, humdrum type player, you know, it's not always easy to get that kind of growl at
them.
So, yeah, I mean, when they obviously their play on the ice is a big deal, but, you know, there's always two or three guys in the same ring that you're looking at, and you are taking the guy that has that lion personality, you know, so to speak. The guy that just wants to go through the wall and just wants to be here, just wants to play, and you know.
How do you measure that?
Well, I mean, it's again, you don't just go out and you sign a player. You got to measure that by spending some time with the player on the phone, and you know, talking to their parents is a big one as well. I mean, there's. You know, that you get to ask them some questions about their kid and about themselves, what they do for a living, and you know, there's a lot of conversations that go on, and at the end of the day, you take the player that's just kind of got the fire in his belly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a personality thing. You know, it's not a room of choir boys. You know what they call choir boys that are just, you know, very docile, and you know, we want guys that are hungry and they want to hunt, and that is part of what we're looking for in a player. And you know, you miss on some.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get fooled. That's just the game. But those players, they don't last that long. The ones that fool you, you know, early.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, there are guys, there are some, I mean, I think, honestly, Nikolai Tishkevich is a perfect example, that is just the nicest guy off the ice. He just seems like you'd never expect him to be as fiery as he is. But on the ice, you know, it's like the switch is flipped, you know, and that's, again, just one example. But, you know, there are guys out there that you can clearly see play with a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, a lot of fire. And as I was just thinking about that, about, you know, how in the recruiting process, how difficult it must be to kind of spot that, you know, without actually being in the room. But that's part of the tender process, bringing guys in. Like you said, Dom, you know, scores a big goal there on Saturday night. He's fired up. He's ready to go. And you guys get a good chance to take a look, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the recruiting game is it's hard. It's a hard thing to find the right pieces. And that's why sometimes you see early on in the season, you see some changes being made, because mm-hmm. they just don't end up being the player that you thought they were going to be. And then you have some of the surprises that just come in and they completely take your room over, and, you know, they're the Tishes, the Bulgakovs, you know, the Pollocks, the Sharoons, the Backles, like those guys are just, they want to hunt. They're hungry. They want to hunt. And those are the only type of player who wins championships, and in my mind. You need guys that are just, no matter what, are going to get after it and go after it. And if they get knocked down, they're right back up in your face. And we got a few of those guys in the locker room, and it's starting to pay off.
Clearly it is. Well, Minot right now top of the division, 59 points. Bismarck 50 in second. Wings now again in third. Like you said, starting to pay off. 46 points right now for the Wings. St. Cloud with 44. Austin with 40. North Iowa with 20. You know, all right, you're going to hate me for this, but you mentioned last week, we'll talk about that another time, about out-of-division play. North Iowa plays the Springfield Junior Blues and swept them on the weekend. They come into here, you know, to the ODI Center with some confidence and stuff after a sweep like that, and picking up some wings and wins and some points. What did you mean by that? Are you not necessarily a fan of the out-of-division play?
No, I'm not, because it's not everybody gets the opportunity to do it.
Right.
You know, so it completely affects the standings. And to me, there's absolutely zero reason, especially in a six-team conference, that we have to have teams playing out-of-division. You know, we... I don't know what their reasons are. Whether they want to see a different team, they want a market coming in there, building or not. But it's never worked for me. You know, we've played out of division games, you know, in the past, and and you know, got a ton of points, and I'm sure other people were really upset about that. Like, there's just no reason to schedule out of division games when you have a good conference like the Central Division, and we kind of got an easy schedule to put it together. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to figure it out. You need to play each other so many different times, and you know, there's a lot of rivalries because of it. I mean, you look at, you know, every team we play, there's what you call hockey hate.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand teams being able to go out of division and get points to count in your division. Now, if you're in the South Division and you have an odd number of teams,
sure.
Okay, well, you know, even though it's not possible down there because of the travel, I could understand trying to balance out some things with some out of division play, but I'm just not a fan. Let's play each other and let's see who's on top, who's on bottom in the end. I'd rather that than go into someone else's division and you know, play games that, you know, just affect everybody's standings. It affects their standings as well. It just doesn't make any sense for me.
And I kind of figured that's where you were going with that, because, you know, I mentioned it in the broadcast, I think, on Friday night or whatever, when I was going through standings about that. The fact is that you don't know. Haven't seen Springfield Junior Blues. Are they, I mean, the Midwest, whatever. Is it possible, hypothetically speaking, that they are maybe not as strong as a division as the Central this year? Now, obviously, every year that's going to change, and every, you know, team changes and whatever else. But that inner, you know, outer division and inner division play does change things. And so I kind of figured that's where you were going with that.
Yeah, but let's even the playing field then.
Yep.
Why does two teams get to go out and play at division and the other teams don't? Like, yeah. If we're gonna even it up, then send us to Cloquet, even though that, you know, it's a lot of extra miles for us. But if two teams are going to get to do it, then all six should have to do it. That's just my bottom line. It shouldn't be, you know, different rules for different teams.
Well, it almost becomes a little bit like cherry picking in a way. I mean, and don't get me wrong, the Wilderness and, you know, are a very strong team, and I'm taking nothing away from any other teams. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that when you don't see the same teams, it's really hard to judge, you know, who's playing well against who, because you don't know, you haven't seen those equal matchups, like you said. So,
well, they can go the other way too. I mean, you could go there and not run into a complete powerhouse, you know, where you're not seeing that team.
And you get completely shelled.
You get demolished, and, you know, you can't make up ground when that happens. So either way, I mean, they have their reasons for doing it. It's not going to change because they haven't changed it in all the years that I've been here. So I just don't understand it. But again, I'm just a coach.
Yeah. I'm just nothing, but I get you. I get it. And, you know, again, meaning no disrespect to any other team or anything else. It's just that it is interesting when you play out of division against a team, you know, that they're facing other teams. And, you know, it's not an equal playing field, like you said. I find that interesting. All right. So we ran through the standings. Minot at the top. Austin beats Minot on Friday night, who Austin kind of been in a little bit of a slide here lately, but you face them again this weekend, and it's their pink the rink night at the Riverside Arena, which is always a huge night for them. It's a breast cancer awareness thing, and they paint the rink, the ice, pink, and you get people in there that are maybe only go to one game a year. but they're coming to that one. And it's going to be a loud crowd for sure. What do you have to do against a team like Austin? I know you've had some success against them recently here. But again, they beat the number one team in the division. It goes to show, and it proves all the time, that every team can beat everybody. What are going to be some keys against this team in this match?
I mean, we just seen them, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And they were hard-fought games. I mean, they're going to have guys back in the lineup. I'm sure they've gotten guys back that weren't in the lineup the last time we seen them. But, against Austin, you're going to get, especially in their home building, they work and they defend hard, and their specialty teams are usually really good at home. And they have a Division I goaltender in net. So we got to go. We got to just kind of stay playing the way we're playing and going after teams and eliminating their offensive ability, and our goaltending needs to stay hot.
Some big keys for sure, and it'll be a challenge. It always is in the Central Division on every given weekend, whether it be on the road or at home or whatever. But coming off a very solid weekend here at the Odie, congratulations on that. And again, a huge crowd Saturday night for sure here, and they were entertained. There's no denying that. All right, Coach, Austin coming up. Good luck against the Bruins. They're tough. Riverside Arena is a tough building to play in for sure. And like I said, Pink the Rink, great event, great cause for them. And it's always full in there. But keep it rolling. Huh?
No, we need to keep doing that. So let's have a good weekend.
And once again, that's Jay KleinConnect visiting with Scott Langer of your Aberdeen Wings during a Wings Weekly. You can listen to that full conversation on YouTube. Check that out. And also the second portion of the program as JK catches up with Salvatore Calora. You can check that full conversation out once again on the Aberdeen Wings YouTube page there today. It's a full show, 38 minutes and 30 seconds. That's once again on the Aberdeen Wings YouTube page. That's it for us and our time together here today. This is David Tewksbury saying ever onward, always forward and never backward. We're back at it tomorrow for a Wolves midweek right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.